exactly why you want a high-quality fire extinguisher right in the kitchen.
Those flames were really big, Dad.
And turkey's funny that way.
Dad!
It was like a pink nightmare.
How could they get any worse? Take a look around you, Ellen. We're at the threshold of hell!
Come out to the coast. We'll get together, have a few laughs.
I'm going to miss that. How are you guys? Merry Christmas. You look festive. That's good. Hello to everybody watching online. I know we've still got many coming in. If you can kind of slide one direction or another, and if you got some open seats next to you, just kind of raise up your hand. They can bring them over to you. I want to make sure everybody gets a seat. I know we've got some sitting in the foyer, which is great. We're glad you're here. You know, real fast, let me just say this. We have been helping businesses this year. That's something that we have done as a ministry, and our plan was to help 52 restaurants and local businesses. So this week is Our River Gallery, and it is at 3707 West 73rd Avenue. And you can see the website, but here's what Becky, the owner, said. They've got bags and jewelry and pottery and cards and Christmas gifts galore. She's going to open today from 10 to 4, have cider and cookies. So we can go over there, get some Christmas gifts, help her out. This is how we've been helping the businesses across the city. And it's going to be great to have 52 businesses that we've been able to help. So make sure you get over there this week. Yeah, awesome. It's really good. Proud of you. This is a bookmark of all 12 verses that we memorized this year. All right? So pick it up on your way out when you get your Christmas gifts. Make sure you grab your Christmas gift because that's next week's service. And there's some little special gifts in there for you. We want everybody to get one. I also know that some are buying a couple extra to give out as Christmas gifts. I think they're charging $20 to cover the cost. Has a QR reader so that you can, QR code, you can just put your phone on it. And that service will come up starting tonight, okay, tonight. So make sure that you get your gift. It's a gift from us to you. And we want you to enjoy the service sometime this week because the facility won't be open next weekend. Doing something we haven't done in 33 years as a church. We're gonna keep the building closed so that you can be home, enjoy Christmas, but still share it with those who maybe wouldn't come to church otherwise. Maybe family members that come into town. You know, if they're staying at your house, they're a captive audience. Got no choice, right? You got to watch this or we're not going to feed you breakfast. But it's a very different service, too. It's a music video from our worship team, lots of good worship. The message isn't like we do it normally on the weekend, and it's something for the kids and adults. And there is an amazing story. You're going to hear another one today, but just make sure you pick it up, okay? And, you know, as I was thinking about closing out this series, Christmas can be rough. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you're festive, man. You're in the mood for Christmas. It's been a great time for you, a great season for you. But what I've run into mostly is that everyone's like, man, it's just kind of stressful. We're still kind of coming out of, well, just when you think we're coming out of COVID, it just kind of pulls you back in, right? Or at least somebody does. And then we're in this situation where we've had a lot of loss in this ministry. I mentioned that I did 30 memorials since January 4th, and that's actually the role of our pastors of care, Pastor Scott, Pastor Barry. They've done 38. 68 members have passed this year. The average church in America is 77. So we've almost buried an entire church. Now, that's not really the way you want to start out a Christmas service, but let me tell you what it does. It puts things in perspective. And Christmas can be a rough time. And I want that to be transformative for you today. I want to put you in the Christmas spirit, but I'm just going to be straight out, flat out honest with you. I want to tell you the truth, because this isn't chicken soup for the soul. This is the Word of God. And truth is what transforms. You know, when you think about going through a tough time, sometimes we think, well, if you could just say it the right way, then maybe I'd be able to handle it. It reminds me of this lady who'd been married 20 years, and she wanted to go on a personal vacation. Her husband's like, that's fine, go ahead. You know, we've been married 20 years. So she planned this trip to Europe, and she would just check in. She was going to go to London, Paris, Rome, and end in Vienna. And so she was very excited, and she said, I'll just check in each of the cities. Well, she calls her husband, checks in, and it's been a couple days, and she's like, honey, I'm here and just checking, seeing how things are going. He's like, they're fine. She's like, well, how's our cat? He goes, he died. She goes, what? I'm sorry, he died. She goes, you know, you are so mean. Could you just learn how to say things the right way? And he's like, well, what do you want me to say? She goes, well, you could have eased me into it. You know, I could have called and you could have said, honey, the cat's on the roof. And then when I got to Paris, you could have said, honey, the cat fell off the roof. And then when I got to Rome, you could have said, honey, the cat's at the vet and it's not looking good. And then when I got to, you know, the end of my trip, you could have said, babe, I'm sorry, the cat didn't make it. And he's like, okay. And she's like, all right. And he's like, okay. She goes, by the way, how's my mom? He goes, she's on the roof. Now, here's the deal. It doesn't change the situation. It doesn't change the circumstance, right? So I want to tell you the truth today, but I want to tell you that Jesus, when he comes in, he doesn't make it all roses. Jesus messes up our plans. And Christmas, the story of Christmas, was about messed up plans. They weren't the plans of Mary and Joseph to have a virgin birth, to have a teenage girl that was unwed in a culture where they didn't get a TV show. They got capital punishment. They were in a situation where a lot of people's plans were messed up. And we have this sterile version of Christmas. I shared last week how many Americans, 75% believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. 77% believe that shepherds saw an angel, but they've never trusted in Jesus as their personal Savior. Make any sense? So I want to read the Christmas story. And here at Grace, we give you the notes. You can write them down if you'd like to. You can follow along. You can watch on the screen. I just want you to hear it. I'm going to read the story, and then I want to share with you how Jesus can mess up your plans and it can be the best thing that happens. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own hometown to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to a son, a firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, it's a beautiful story. It's an amazing story, but it's more than that. It's literally the beginning of the greatest story ever told. And the reason that Jesus came was not to give us all of our wishes and grant our every want. He came as a baby, wrapped in flesh, but he was and is and always will be the creator and sustainer of the universe and deserves our worship. You know, when Jesus came, he messed up a lot of plans. He messed up Herod's plan to rule the world. So Herod issued a decree to kill all the Hebrew baby boys under the age of two. He messed up the plan of the shepherds. You know, they just wanted a quiet night at work. Maybe the sheep would go to sleep and then they could go to sleep. How about the religious leaders? Man, they had a plan to have a political takeover. He messed that up. You would see that throughout the remainder of his 33 and a half years on earth. He messed up Mary's plan for the perfect wedding. He messed up Joseph's plan for his firstborn son. Instead, he was going to be the stepfather of the Son of God. Messed up a lot of plans. You ever had your plans messed up? You ever had a situation you didn't count on? You know, I look at the natural disasters. This ministry cares for disasters both at home and abroad and globally. Every time there's a natural disaster, we reach out. As a matter of fact, we have a fund set up if you'd like to participate with the Kentucky Tornado Relief, where 100% of what we give to this fund will go to the families that have been devastated. I just saw yesterday finally found and located the last person that was missing. That's a lot of people to die. 75 to 100 people that lost everything or lost their lives. And then you have an entire city laid to waste. So if you'd like to, we have a mobile app, Grace mobile app. It's free, or you can go to the website. Just select to give, and when it drops down, pick Kentucky Tornado Relief. But that's just one way that we can give back. It's a small thing to do in a time like this. But what happens when your plans are messed up? What happens when they don't go your way? Now, I'm talking to Christians. Maybe you're not a Christian. I'm going to tell you something. You need Jesus to mess up all your plans. You need him to come into your life and transform you. And that happens when we understand the reason he came was to die on a cross, to pay for the sins of all mankind, my sin, your sin, everybody's, and not just the past sin, the present sin, the future sin. And he rose again and he offers that salvation to you who confess your sin and believe that he died for you. Now, that stamps your ticket into heaven. But that's not the only reason he came. He came to transform us. And I think sometimes we have this mentality, especially around Christmas. Hey, Pastor, just tell me the sterile version of the Christmas story. Let's sing a few Christmas songs and go home. I'm here to tell you that is not my focus today. My focus today is to tell you that there are really five reasons God messes up your plans. And before we can really embrace what Christmas is about, I want you to understand this. 25 years ago, I was doing a study on this very subject because I was going through a tough time. And as I was reading Scripture, I found that throughout all of Scripture, 66 books, there are five reasons God messes up your plans. Five reasons. I'm going to give them to you this Christmas. And the first is this: God is trying to direct me. When God allows problems into my life, he's trying to direct me. He's trying to direct you. You're like, well, where's he trying to direct me? I can't answer that for you. But the very first thing you need to do when problems come is say, God, are you trying to direct me somewhere else? Is this the path you want me on? Or is there a different path? Is this your purpose or is it my purpose? Is this your money or is it my money? You know, for many of us, it could be a relationship that's holding us back. You know you shouldn't be in the relationship, but it's become comfortably dysfunctional. Maybe it's a job or a career, and the only reason you're working it is because you're making money. You know it's not good. It's terrible for your family, your marriage, maybe even just for your health, but you do it for the money. Maybe it's a spiritual place that you've just hit a dry and barren land because it's all about take, 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 and you never give and you never serve. Listen, I'm not saying this to be mean, but some of you I only see at Christmas. And I know that many times we have a virtual church around the world, literally. And I'm thankful that we have that as an opportunity. But church is far more than a facility. Do you know why we gather together? So that we can worship together. Worship God, not each other. So that we can serve one another. And so that we can be empowered to leave those doors and actually live what we've learned. If that's not happening, then we're failing as a church. And I believe the church in America is failing miserably. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 30. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. I don't know about you, but this is the story of my life. This could be my life verse. God's like, You're not doing it right. Now, gracefully, always, because he's a heavenly father, a loving father who disciplines his children. Punishment's reserved for the lost person. But discipline comes from God. So when you're going through a tough time, ask this question, Lord, is there a different path you would like me to take? That's your question. God, is there a different path you would like me to take? And I have news for you. When you pray and you believe, he answers. When you pray in faith, he answers. The second reason that God allows problems and Jesus messes things up is he's trying to inspect me. What does that mean? You ever been in for a physical? I'm not real good either at those, but you do go on occasion, right? I'm talking and there's a doctor on the front row. I go sometimes, all right? But here's the reality. You get a physical inspection. Well, most of us never take a spiritual inventory of our lives. We're never really honest about it. Yeah, I love Jesus. I just can't stand his bride. That's why I don't spend any time with her. You know, if you like me but you hate my wife, we're not going to get along very well. In James chapter 1, we see, my fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. Some of us think problems are horrible. We just don't want problems. We want a magic Christianity. And God is saying, no, problems are good. They build you. They direct you. They inspect you. But you got to ask the question, Lord, am I focused really on the problem or on what is set before me? Third reason that God allows problems, God is trying to correct me. Some of you just, you need this today. Because there's a lot of things happening, and you're asking the question that most people ask. Why, God? Why is this happening? Listen, I told you that we just had a very difficult memorial for a young lady that grew up in this ministry and a family that we are very close to and love very much. And I had to share this. Even if God told you why, it would not take the pain away. If God came in here and told you why every problem is happening in your life, it would not make the pain go away. It would not satisfy. You got to ask what? In the story of Jesus and his birth, the Bible says they were to go to Bethlehem. That was 82 miles away. On a donkey, no plane, no Uber, no car. A painful travel for a 9-month pregnant woman. And they went to the town of David. You see, King David, the greatest of the kings of Israel, was also a guy that made some really poor choices, and he had to be corrected. And he writes this in Psalm 119, "When you corrected me, it did me good, because it taught me to study your laws. I would rather obey you than to have 1,000 pieces of silver and gold." Is that true for you? I would rather obey you, God, than be wealthy. I would rather obey you, God, than have everything I want. I'd rather have what you want than what I want. So you ask the question, Lord, is there something in me you're trying to change? The fourth reason, he directs us, he corrects us, he inspects us, and he says, I allow problems to protect you. I'm sure when Mary and Joseph were making their way to Bethlehem, that was a painful, difficult journey. But you know what God was doing? Protecting them. He was watching over their lives. Sometimes a tragedy happens and you look back and go, wow, that actually saved me from something far worse. Oh, I was engaged to the dream man or the dream woman and he broke it off. And 3 years later, you're like, oh, thank God. You know, there's a story of another Joseph in the Old Testament. It's my favorite character in the Old Testament. And Joseph was a young man at 17 that was the youngest of his 11 brothers, and he had visions. He could see the future, and one day he could see that his brothers would bow to him. It was absolutely true, not something you say to your older brothers. So they didn't just beat him up. They sold him into slavery. And for 13 years, he was in misery. He was the bottom of the rung of the slave house in Potiphar's guard. And then he rose up to the best in that house. Then he was falsely accused and thrown into prison. Then he rose up to the second in command of the prison guard. You're a good person when you're doing that. Then he was forgotten. Then finally he comes out. Pharaoh has a dream. Hey, go ahead and tell me, Joseph. And if you can stay alive. He does. And becomes the second most powerful man in the world, this Hebrew boy. He gets to bring his brothers back. And his father reveals himself. They're scared to death, as they should be. But he says, no, I love you. When the father dies, they make up a story. Hey, Joe, remember when you stepped out of the hospital room? Dad said, don't kill us. Joseph goes, guys, you missed it. Look at Genesis 50:20. I think we all can hear this and really understand it. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Now listen, that is painful. And I'm going to just say this. It has not just been a painful year in losing people that you love and you care about, but you know, I lost my best friend this year after 33 years of serving together, day in and day out, traveling literally across the world. We planted the churches in Peru, of which we have 57 Shawi Grace churches, and did a lot of things together. And to lose Pastor Jim was painful. You know, something we had dreamed about was building a Bible Institute on our property so that we could train all the Shawi pastors. Right now we have 57 churches, but we only have 40 pastors. They're all indigenous. We've trained them. We've raised them up. We support them. We pay them. Our missionary couple, Doug and Blanca, took over for Rick and Susie, who were there almost 10 years. And they're doing an amazing job. In this process, Doug has done a phenomenal job of organizing and putting together this building project. And I want to share something with you in a moment, but I want you to see what you helped God do in the jungle. Look at this.
So we're really excited about what God's doing here in Yurimaguas and how he's opened the doors for us to be able to minister and prepare young men and women to fulfill their purposes, to use their gifts for God's glory. This is the new building which Grace Church has constructed here on the property in Yurimaguas. It's a beautiful two-story building. You can see it's just about completed. As people enter the property, they'll walk down this sidewalk to enter into the building. You can see up there is a little patio. And then here are going to be some beautiful windows. They have not been put in yet, but it's going to be really beautiful when they get it finished. And let's go inside and take a look. This first room is the training center and where we plan to have a church here in Yurimaguas. And you can see it's a big room. And it should be very adequate. Let's go upstairs and take a look. Here's the hallway that has all of the different rooms here. Here's what a typical room looks like. See a beautiful view of the mango tree out of this room. And so it's gonna be very nice for the students when they come. Here's a bathroom. And we've got a toilet, two showers, couple of sinks. This is probably the biggest room. Very spacious, beautiful window here. You can look out and see on the other side of the wall and on the other side of those trees is the Paranapura River. So this is a great view of the property from up here. And so we want to thank you for your support in prayer and your giving. Without you, none of this would be possible. And so we ask that you continue to pray for this ministry as we plan on having our first semester this March in 2022. And we just want to thank you and God bless you for all that you do for us.
Isn't that great? Awesome. You know, I know Pastor Jim would be so thrilled. I'm just one of those people that believe that God allows them to see from heaven. And you know, for you don't know him, he was our very first elder when we started the church About a year and a half in, he became an elder. After a couple of years, he moved back to Monta Vista, he and Judy, and he served as an elder in absentia. And during that time, I watched some things happening and transpiring and felt very uncomfortable with some of the stuff. And so Shelly and I went down for a Christmas weekend just before Christmas, and I said, Jim, you got to come back. He's like, what do you mean? I go, you got to come home. He goes, I am home. I go, no, you're not. I said, I don't think church is going to survive some of this. I need you to come back. And they sold everything and moved back. And he was by my side and by your side and by this ministry side for decades. And as I think about it, back in June, Pastor Jason, as they were working on the worship CD, said, hey, man, would you write a song about Jim? And we'll get together and work on it. I said, okay. So I wrote a couple. I haven't written in a long time. I wasn't very good at it anyways. And so we ended up in the studio, me and Jason and Jake Espy from Red Rocks, and had our guitars and piano and started to work on these lyrics. And, you know, it really came down to that phrase, love no matter what. You love no matter what. That's what Jim did. There's a line in there that says, you came back, you had my back. And that really summed up who he was. And for all of you who are going through a tough time, all of you who have lost somebody, I hope this song encourages you that they're where they need to be, and we need to be doing what we're here for. Love no matter what.
You're in a better place. Oh, no matter what the cost becomes. 'Cause the legacy you left is you loved, no matter what the cost became. I want to love, no matter what the cost becomes. 'Cause the legacy you left is you loved, no matter what the cost became. Thank you.
Thank you, baby. It's pretty bad when you make your pregnant daughter get your stuff for you, isn't it? You know, holding on to that hope is the only thing that gets us through these times. God is trying to direct me, inspect me, correct me, protect me, and finally, God will always do this. He's trying to perfect me. Now, we're never going to get there this side of eternity. And this isn't about sinless perfection. This is about spiritual maturity. You know, that's what Christmas should be reminding all of us of, that we were not just saved for fire insurance. We were saved for his purpose, to be a part of his mission, to serve and to share. James 1:4 says, and then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. That's what God wants. He wants us to mature to a point where we're not lacking what we need. That comes through the washing of the Word of God in your life, through the yielding to the Holy Spirit who lives in us, from the power from above. And you ask the question, Lord, what action should I take to demonstrate my maturity in Christ? And that's how you get the answer to perfection that God is bringing. You know, I want to just say this as I kind of wrap us up with the Christmas theme. Christmas can be rough. Jesus made it a choice. You can have the world and everything the world has to offer, and you leave it here when you go. Or you can leave it here now and have everything heaven has to offer. That is the choice. So this Christmas, you remember three things. First, God wants you to know your purpose for your life. He wants you to know his purpose for my life, his purpose for your life. You know, that lamb who came into the world, when they laid Jesus in the manger, we hear, you know, away in the manger, that wasn't just a manger. That was a manger in Bethlehem that was a birthing manger where they would raise the lambs who they would sacrifice as a symbol of the Lamb of God who would come and take away the sins of the world. And while they were sacrificing, they missed it. They thought the Messiah had to come and establish his kingdom and overthrow Rome, but he didn't. He had to come and die first so we could have entrance into heaven. He will come back as a Lion of Judah, and he will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on this earth as he is in heaven. Revelation 4:11 says, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things, and for your pleasure, that is synonymous with purpose, for your pleasure and purpose, they were created and exist. You know, I want to know God deeper. I want to be like Mary, the mother of my Savior, who opened her heart and trusted in faith and fortitude, saying, God, whatever you want, I am the Lord's servant. I want to be like Joseph. I want to stand loyal in my support to those I love and sacrifice my own selfish needs to walk beside them. I want to show the ability to stand off to the side while others get the glory because I've stood behind them. I want to be more like the innkeeper who opened up his heart and his home to whomever God brought his way. I want to step out of the busyness and make a comfortable place for people of God, and most importantly, those who need Jesus. I want to be like the wise magi. Always remember to give those to those who have far less. I want to be like the Magi who traveled a long ways and laid their gifts at Jesus' feet. I want to help those that maybe aren't in a higher position establish greater position. I want to serve and sacrifice. And you know what? Most of all, I want to be like the angels. And I'm no angel, but I want to illuminate the gospel of hope. That's what the Christmas story is about. Matthew chapter 1, it says, while Joseph was thinking about this, what was he thinking about? Let me tell you what he was thinking about. He found out that his virgin bride was pregnant, and he was thinking about how to put her away so that nobody would make fun of her or hurt her. While he was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord appeared to him in a dream. The angel said, Joseph, the baby that Mary will have is from the Holy Spirit, so go ahead and marry her. Then after her baby is born, name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You know what else this Christmas should bring? This Christmas, remember, God's plans are best because God wants me to improve my character in preparation for heaven. The only thing you're taking with you to heaven is your character. God is more concerned about your character than your comfort, your integrity than your image. There's only two things that will last forever on this planet, God's word and people. That's it. So what else is there worth investing in? Nothing. So when you're going through hard times, and I know that many of you are, look at Romans 5. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. There's that word again. And patient endurance will refine our character. Improving character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not disappointing fantasy because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know what endurance is? Just ask an athlete if you don't know what endurance is. They know what it is. You push through pain. You push through, being tired. You push through maybe not having the right diet at times. And so often in our faith, we're not pushing through. We think it's supposed to be easy street. It's not. Jesus messes up everything. And finally, God wants me to know him personally, not just know about him. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, so I'm really hoping these people that don't know Jesus know him personally. I'm talking to you too, Christian. Sometimes we treat our Christianity like a bridge over the abyss to hell. And we go, oh, there's Jesus. I believe he's going to take me to heaven. I believe that's the way across the abyss. That's wonderful. And then we set up camp and stay out here. We see him off in the distance. He doesn't want just our faith to believe and receive salvation. He wants our surrender. Amen. He wants our service. And you know what? He will get it one way or the other. Because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now with that in mind, look at Luke again. But the angel reassured them saying, don't be afraid, for I've come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard. And it is for who? Everyone. Everywhere. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. In this ministry, everything that we do is about life change. Could be your life change today. I want you to hear a story that came out of COVID of the transformational power of the gospel, and then we'll close the service. Listen to the Kathy Peters story.
It's been just a year since I've walked through the doors of Grace Church, and it's profound to think of how this ministry has completely changed our lives as a family. I lost my parents and my brother way too soon from dietary related diseases that really stole years from their life. And it's really a heartache of mine knowing that my children were and are my parents' only grandchildren, and they really only got to see them a few times before they were five. And that affected me so much that it really led me on a path of wanting to help people who were suffering in that way, not to have to suffer in that way. I learned so much about dietary diseases and nutrition. I became certified in plant-based nutrition and plant-based cooking and plant-based desserts. And so I was really active in that community for years, really. I was doing food demos and volunteering and mentoring and attending conferences and all sorts of things. Very, very involved in community because I love community, I love people, and I love helping people. And then here comes COVID, and everything just comes to a screeching halt in 2020. And I kind of was left thinking, hello, where is everybody? You know, here we are always talking about healthy immune systems and wellness and holistic health and good food, and everyone just shut their doors and went to Zoom. And I was left feeling like I needed people because I'm not really a Zoom person. I don't like, I feel like I need to connect with other people. So my sister Laura, at the same time, this is about October, she started sending me virtual church services from New Jersey, and I was watching those and I thought they were great. I said to myself, you know, I'd really like to see if there's somewhere I could connect with people and be in church. And I poked around a little bit and saw what was available in Arvada, and came across Grace Church. And I walked in the doors by myself the week of Thanksgiving, really meekly and kind of nervous. And I was so warmly greeted. I walked in and during crazy COVID, it was my first sense of normalcy. It just felt normal, and I could exhale and relax and enjoy being around people, and that was really important to me. That was what I was missing. So in 2020, accepting Christ was nowhere on my radar. You know, I was just starting to hear the gospel. And then every week I was hearing Pastor Rick say the gospel at the end of services, and little by little, you know, it started to really make sense and really get into my heart. And I accepted Christ on January 23rd. The end of the services. And, you know, this in turn, after I accepted Christ, I realized it had a cascading effect on my family. Before long, my twins were attending Grace Students every week since November, and they were serving in Red Point student leadership. They started serving on the worship team. I started attending as many classes as I could here at Grace, and I started serving at Celebrate Recovery. And it was an amazing moment when I was able to be baptized with my daughter Ava in the spring, and that was only a week after my brother died. And then my son Ryan accepted Christ at a Dare to Share event this past November, and my heart is so full knowing my kids have accepted Christ as their Savior. Brings me such peace as a mom. You know, the most unexpected realization of all of this is knowing that Jesus not only died for our sins, but he died to give us an abundant life. And that truly happened to our life. Going back when the kids were in middle school, I was looking at high schools and, you know, I was narrowing it down, but nothing really felt right. And certainly Christian school was not on our radar. And here it is, January 2021, February 2021, and all of a sudden we're looking at a Christian school. And the next thing you know, we are selling our house and moving, and the kids are going to a Christian high school, and now they're hearing the Word of God every day, and I am so grateful for that. This is like abundant love in our life and abundant gratitude I have. When I learned hearing over and over, when you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Like, what is, for me, what that looks like is approaching every day with such gratitude. And when I'm in a place of fear, which is often, I take it to prayer. You know, when things are just getting too much, lay it at Christ's feet. You know, I used to hear people talk, oh, relationship with God, like, what does that even mean? I understand now. I pray, I talk to God daily, and it takes the fear and the pressure off my shoulders. And to think that, you know, I spent 49 years of my life trying to do all that myself. And it doesn't mean that life is easy. I have the same struggles I've had since before being a believer in Jesus Christ. But now I have Christ, and I have the hope of heaven. I have the salvation. I have God walking with me. You know, I'm so grateful to God for bringing me through the doors of Grace Church, however he used 2020, and it brought our family to Christ, and it cascaded down into all the gifts and blessings that we're receiving. You know, and maybe someone is sitting where I was, you know, wanting community, longing for community, feeling a hole in their life, and not knowing about the gospel. And I challenge anyone who's not yet a believer to accept that free gift, because truly, the only peace that I've ever really felt is accepting that free gift. And for anyone who is a believer and is not yet serving, I would challenge them to love God and to serve others. I get so much more out of serving than what I give. I think one of the most powerful things is when we ourselves are suffering is to serve others. In that way, two hearts are healed. Every week, I look forward to my small group at Grace, Celebrate Recovery, and the weekend services. And I'm so grateful to God for everyone who has touched our lives here at Grace Church.
Amazing. You know, as I was thinking about Rich and Kathy, Ryan and Ava, it's just when you watch the transformation happen, it's when you know God is real. And that's what this ministry is about. And as you, if you've come today, maybe your family invited you and told you they'd get you brunch. They were lying. No, I'm just kidding. They're getting you brunch. But you know why they want you here? Because maybe today you'll accept the free gift of salvation. You know, I ask this question. When it costs God everything and it costs you nothing to have salvation, it costs everything to surrender. It costs everything to be a disciple. But to know that Jesus died for you and to be born again is an act of faith. Matter of fact, Jesus, in talking to a very wise Pharisee, said this, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He said, Lord, how can I be born again? He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave that son to be a perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. And Jesus rose again 3 days later, proving he is God. And if you'll believe that he did that, he'll come into your life. He'll save you from your sins. He'll give you a home in heaven. And more importantly than anything else, he'll give you purpose for living, his purpose. So I want to challenge you this Christmas. Look at Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved by faith. Nothing you did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the love gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. Never. Receive that gift. Can I have you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? We're going to close up the service. We'll do one song together. But I want to ask you, will you receive that love gift from God? If that made sense, maybe right where you sit, it'd be easy just to say something in your mind to God. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking. And just say something like this, God, I admit it. I'm a sinner. I admit I've done things wrong. And right now, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me, paid for all my sins, and rose again. Thank you, God, for saving me. Friend, welcome to the family of God. You made the best decision of your life and your eternal life, and I want to pray for you. I'm not going to have you stand up or come forward, but in a moment, I'm going to have you slip up your hand and put it right back down. That just tells me you got it. So if you're saying today, this Christmas weekend, I believe and I receive the free gift of salvation, would you just slip your hand up and put it right back? God bless you. God bless you all. Praise God. Thank you. God bless you, my friend. God bless you guys. Thank you. A supernatural transaction has taken place. God's righteousness has been put to your account. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are born again. You are going to heaven. Write this date down. It's the most important date since you were born. And for all of us as Christians, I have a question for you. How will this Christmas be different? Because if you just leave and nothing changes, no commitment to serve, to die to self, then it's just been another wasted holiday without purpose. And you know what the word holiday is? Holy day. So my challenge to every Christian watching, every Christian here, is to surrender 2021 and 2022 to the Lord. Father, thank you for these who've put their trust in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the powerful gift of salvation. And God, we thank you that we get the privilege of witnessing the transformation just like we did in Kathy Peter's life and just like we have in our own lives. Lord God, it was a miraculous holy night. And as we worship you in closing, we thank you. We pray, Lord, that we would never forget, not for a moment, what you did for us. In Jesus' name, amen.